Praise the Lord. Do you want to give your test? You want to give your miracle testimonies that we did? We was going to do Wednesday night and didn't.
Let's see. Okay. There was a lady that contacted me by phone and says, I'm coming to Glow. And she lives up in New York. She's moving to Delaware. And she came yesterday. She drove all the way down from Brooklyn, New York. And so enjoyed it. And she drove back up. So she's, I don't know. She says that she knew me. And I couldn't remember. And then I went into my email and found out that she somehow put her email into my emails, because I thought that the Lord might have put something put all my email into hers. So it's just still blowing me away that he's calling people from other places to come here and to move here. And I really sense that God has something really special for her to do in a Glow and in Delaware. So she's going to call me this week. But the reason I thought of that is because people have said to me a couple times and even approached me and said that I had something in Zillow. And I remember seeing this listing. And so they called me up and they said, yeah, your name and your phone number was right next to this house in Zillow, because at Zillow is where they look up houses. And I've been approached a couple times, and the Lord has been advertising for me in Zillow. There was another one. I can't remember it right now.
That's good now.
Yeah. So anyway.
I can't remember it either.
Yeah, I'm still really blown away about yesterday and this lady coming down from New York. And she started saying things to me, and I go, oh, my goodness. I thought I was the only one Lord said those things to. So I can't wait for her to call me. But he said some things to me, and let's just put it this way. He has a work to do, and he's going to open up all these Glows in the area. And if those around here don't want to do it, he'll take people from other states, maybe even other countries. But I praise you, Lord.
God is good. He'll give you another chance after your test. Now I was sitting there and God said, have Barbara give her testimony she wants to give. That's why I did that. Every one of us should have a testimony of the marvelous things that God is doing. You have a testimony, you no longer have to be alone, right? Now you have two other people back in your home, right? Different, isn't it? Now you have to wear all your clothes all the time. Can't run around in your underwear. Isn't that right, Alan? When you live alone, you can do what you want to do. And then when you have company, then you have to do what you got to do. God is really good. He is moving upon people's hearts, and he is moving people from different states to different states. He's told us that he's going to switch people around so they'll be where he wants them to be so he can use them. Now, Brother Skip, he had to go clear out to the ocean away from us. And now I know God said, I'm going to use him there, so he'll visit. See, we have to be able to be go and then just visit, come back and visit. Even though I don't care how much we love where we're at, we just wait till he sends you out, see what you do. We'll hear the motors. He'll bring the whole motorcycle gang with him, right? Well, God is on the move, and I'm glad he is, because I'm tired of being stagnant. There should be so much power in just us. We're all the ones that are here. We're the body. There should be so much power in us that no devil will want to walk through that door, because he knows if he walks through that door, he's finished. And I saw some things in the spirit realm this morning as we was ministering to people that encouraged me that God is doing just exactly that. And as we learn to work in unity, you know, we are working in unity, but as we get deeper into unity, deeper into the love walk, and where I won't be able to tell where I end and you begin. We'll be that closely knit together, and God will be able to do a great and a mighty works. We're going to see more and more of you guys, you know, preaching, your teaching, whatever you want to call it, and we're going to see more and more of you guys be laying hands on the sick and watching the miracles happen. And I'm just hoping that you understand that this is now. It's not 10 years from now, not 10 days from now, but it's now that God wants us to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. It's now that this coronavirus has got to go. And it's now that we quit arguing with one another about it. Thank you, Father. Father God, I thank you for what you just spoke to your son and your daughter. I thank you, Father God, that you're working in the people's hearts in this sanctuary tonight. And I thank you, Father God, that because we trust you and we laid our hands, our lives in your hands, that you are working in our lives and bringing perfection into our vessels. Open our spiritual ears tonight. Let us hear what you are speaking to us, Father. And open our eyes wide, Father God, into the spirit realm so we can see as you see and not as others see. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. God saying, children, I say unto you this night, you do not comprehend what I am really about right now. I am doing a great and a mighty works in each one of your lives. And your lives will never be the same, ever. In this new dispensation of time, much horror is going to run across this nation. But you, children, you will take my peace. You will take my love and my affection to my people. You will bring peace where there is utter chaos. And you will walk in newness of life. And you will bring those who are hopeless and helpless, you will bring them into this newness of life. And they will have hope once again. And they will rise up and do a great and a mighty works for me. You are my little lambs that I have gathered to myself. I cherish each one of you. Each one of you have a special place in my heart. And I promise I will stay with you and I will lead, guide, and direct you in every path that I place your feet upon. Resurrection power flows through your veins right now. And as you go forth, the lost and the dying will be resurrected just because you're there. My glory will fill their temples as it fills yours. And my love will ooze out of them. And they will go and be witnesses unto me throughout this land. You, my children, are the new book that I've written. You are the ones who your names will be in the limelight. You are my disciples, and you will be like my disciples. And all will know that you walk in the fullness of the Godhead mightily. Never once think that I don't have you in the palms of my hands, because I do. You are my lovely ones. I am protecting and leading and guiding you in the direction I desired for you to go. And the enemy has no place in you. You'll find yourselves laughing and rejoicing and enjoying every second of each other's lives. You will find yourself dancing when you have no reason to dance, because you have been embedded in my heart and the enemy cannot touch you. You are the new lights that I am sending forth into a dark, dark nation to bring the lost into my kingdom. Use the weapon of love. Love is one powerful four-letter word. How will we win our friends, family, and neighbors to the Lord? Not by telling them what they need to do differently in their lives, but by doing what Jesus said to do, love others as well as you love yourself. Unconditional love only comes from God, and the love God offers is the only thing that can truly fill the void in our lives. Read that again. Unconditional love only comes from God, and the love God offers is the only thing that can truly fill the void in our lives. There is no true fulfillment in life without the love of God. You can't earn it, buy it, or win it. God knows the real you before the relationship ever starts. And he loves you. It loves and accepts you just the way you are, for who you are. Even if you have purple hair. Amen. I saw your hair down and flowing, and it was beautiful. You need to put it down and let the glory of God shine through your hair. I saw that today going home. I don't want to see your little granny bun again. Amen. God wants to do something with your hair. I don't know what. Let it flow and let him use it. God loved us long before we ever loved him. He loved us before we ever were anything at all, and nothing can ever change his mind about loving us. He is the only constant we can depend on. He never changes. Did you hear that? God never changes his affections for you. You're just loved. In Romans 8, 38 and 39, the Message Bible says, I'm absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. Nothing can separate us from his love. God is omnipresent. He has already been everywhere time will ever be. That means his love goes everywhere he goes, and it's pretty awesome to think that his love is already waiting for us to arrive. Everywhere, every moment we will ever be to enjoy today, tomorrow, and forever. God is love. And he loves us. Isn't that awesome? We can be and should be confident in the life that God has given us today, not because we love him, because our love is irrelevant, but because he loves us. That is where our confidence comes from his love for us. Don't we all wish we knew all this before we ever got married or did our dumb stuff? Some of you young people that aren't married yet in here, so you're learning all this and you won't have to go through the bad ropes. Amen. Here is something else to think about. If we didn't do anything to earn God's love, that means we don't need to live in fear of ever losing it either. How many marriages do you see where the husband or wife are scared to death that their husband or wife's going to leave them? Not so with God's love. God's word tells us that there is no greater peace that we can have than knowing the love of God. There is no greater joy that we can have than bringing his love to others. Because God is love, his love is the highest expression of who he is. When we abide in his love, we attain the highest realization of what we were created for, to receive his love and to carry it to others. We were created to carry the love of God, then carry it to others. Not hoard it to yourself, but to give it out freely. Why do you think the enemy fought so hard to either steal our love that we had or not to allow us to understand love and to receive love? Because he knows that that tears down his kingdom, and he's not going to allow that to happen without a fight. Matthew 22:36 says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Everything hangs on the commandments of loving. And that is why we fall so short of doing everything that God has called us for to do. It's because we don't walk in those two commandments. Don't beat yourself up. We didn't know. Nobody taught us. And if we read the word, we didn't understand it. But now God has been teaching us about love. And now we don't have any excuse. So now, you know, after this, you can beat yourself up. But start walking in his agape love. Never allowing anything to separate you from the love of God. When I was reading the Bible last night, I liked what Moses spoke to the Israelite children. Listen to this. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 2. Moses said to the people, "The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Oreb. The Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers, but with us, those who are here today, all of us who are alive." When I read that, I was reading that chapter, and I thought, wow, God just made that loom out. He's not talking to other churches. He's talking to us. He's made this covenant of love with us. He told us that April was designated as the love month. He told that to us. Are you understanding this? And I mean, here's God said, quit grouping yourself in with everybody else. You are special in God's eyes. And what he speaks to us is for us. Are you understanding this? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1 says, "Now this is the commandment that don't get haughty and high-minded over that." But we are special. Do you understand how really special we are to God? This little tiny church, like somebody said, the wall's falling down. But God's come in here and he just poured his love out on us and made us very, very special. We are God's lights in a dark world. We are special. Why? Because we learn to love. I mean, sometimes I get mad. I like to knock their head off. But that doesn't say I quit loving them. Right? Aaron's saying, really now? No, it doesn't mean I quit loving you. It just means I think, quit being stupid. You know? And I'm quite sure God in heaven looks at you and says, really? But that doesn't take his love away from us. Are you understanding this? We are special. We are made in the image of God. And he's poured his love into us. Why? So we can pour it into others. This has been a loveless world for quite some time now. And hate has grown to the point that you see what you see out there in the world. And God now is saying, okay, now I'm bringing love back into the world through you. And you are going to be my vessels that I use to annihilate hate. Get hate totally out of the picture, totally out of the churches, totally out of our homes, and bring nothing but love in. Then love makes the world go around. Isn't that what they say? I believe that. I really do. I've lived long enough to know that it really does. And if you don't have love, your world stops. And you're dead. All right? I lost my place. Okay, Deuteronomy 6, verse 1. Don't you agree, Grace? God had me say that to you. Don't you agree? Yes, all right. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. Why do you agree with that? Because you've been around hate. You know what it is to be rejected, spit upon. And you know what God's love did for you, how it brought you up out of that miry clay. Right? Now, this is a commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may, why does he want you taught these things? That you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess. This is Israelite children on their little journey. That you may fear the Lord your God. This is what you have to do, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you. You and your son, I thought this was different. Doesn't say anything about girls. You and your son and your grandson all the days of your life. So you men are supposed to keep the word of the Lord going down the generations. All right, and your son and your grandson all the days of your life. Just not a day or two, Aaron, but all the days of your life you're supposed to do this. And that your days may be prolonged. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. That's quite a bit of loving, isn't it? And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house. You see what your men have to do? Because it was the men he was talking to. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. See that? Always, just always. You shall bind them as a sign to you on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. You're supposed to keep the word of the Lord constantly before your family's face. All right? I guess that's why when you go down the road, when you're delivering your mail, you see all these here, Jesus is Lord, and things, signs like that, right? They've followed the scripture. They put it on their doorpost for all to see. We put it in our pockets and hide it for fear that somebody will make fun of us if we confess that we love Jesus. I always think about when I gave Christopher the hard hat. I said, he'll be brave enough to wear that thing. Did they ever let you wear it? No. Took your hat away from you. Bless you. But he wasn't afraid to wear the hat, is what I'm getting at. He wasn't afraid to say who he stood for. That's the way we have to be with God. We can't be afraid to let other people know that we are children of God. We can't worry about whether or not they're going to make fun of us or reject us. We are supposed to let people know there is a God, and he is a God of love. The greatest commandment is to love God. The second greatest is to love one another. Therefore, the measure of a successful human life will be by how much we love him, and then by how much we love others. Failed the test of love, didn't you, Christopher? Come, and he's not the only one. Come on. So what's it say? The greatest commandment is to love God. The second greatest is to love one another. Therefore, the measure of a successful human life will be how much we love God and then how much we love others. Actions without love do not raise us up, but lower us, as the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 13:1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am absolutely nothing. Come on. When you don't love, God does not he does understand your heart. He knows your heart is cold and callous. And he's wondering, why can't you walk in love? Because if you don't have love, I'm not even paying any attention to you. You cannot do anything in my kingdom that will win souls. All right? 1 John 4:7 says in the Message Bible, my beloved friends, let us continue to love each other, since love comes from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and experiences a relationship with God. The person who refuses to love doesn't know the first thing about God, because God is love. So you can't know him if you don't love. This is how God showed his love for us. God sent his only son into the world so we might live through him. This is the kind of love we are talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage they've done to our relationship with God. See that? There are millions upon millions of people in this world who have never experienced the love of God. But what they don't know is, even though they are not enjoying it, it doesn't change the fact that they still are loved by their Creator, and that God is patiently waiting to pour his love out on them the moment they become aware of his love. Did you pour God's love out over your parents while you was in there? Did it work? See, that's your testimony, right? If you just love and keep your mouth shut and be a witness of God, you can win a soul. But if you try to prove a point, you lose a soul, right? But what they don't know is, even though they are not, we read that, didn't we? Okay, let's go to Ephesians chapter 3:14 in the Message Bible again. My response is to get down on my knees before the Father, this magnificent Father who parcels out all heaven and earth. I ask him to strengthen you by his Spirit, not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength, that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. And I ask him that with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in with all followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience a breadth. Test its length. Plumb the depths. Rise to the heights. Live full lives, full in the fullness of God. Our two little journey people, they traveled all day to get here, and now they're tired. Father God, strengthen them right now. Father God, just strengthen them right now. Give them the rest that they need. And let them enjoy your teaching this evening. And Father, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. God says, now that you have learned how to love. Now listen to what he says here. Now that you have learned how to love, and you know with surety of heart that I love you more than you could ever have comprehended, because of this knowledge, this love is now deeply embedded into your spirit, man. Excuse me. You can now share this love to the lost and bring them into my kingdom. Do you see what I said? Now, right now, you can do this because you guys have learned how to love. When love breaks out, revival breaks out. Why do you think God showed up Wednesday night? Because we learned to love. This is what I have done with each of you. I have poured out my love upon you and started revival deep into your soul. Now I desire you to carry it to the nations. This is not a surface love. It is a love that will die for another. It is a love that will go the extra mile and think nothing of the in-between storms. This is a love that will melt the coldest heart and bring many hopeless ones to the kingdom of light. Move over, little ones. I like this. Move over, little ones. I need room for all the unloved ones that you are bringing into my kingdom of light, love, and freedom from the gross darkness. You can't have your reserve son on your seat no more. Somebody else is going to take that seat while you stand up and be their servant. These are the ones that had given up all hope of life. You're the ones you're bringing in. These are the ones that will go out and share the gospel of love to those who have never heard of my son, let alone a God who is total love. This journey of love is a journey you have never been on before. This journey will manifest love in a multitude of ways. I have been speaking about this love walk for a century now, and it is finally upon the scene. See, love had totally left the church. And God's been working with us little lambs and teaching us what true love is all about. And I honestly know that you guys have learned to love. You've learned to accept, you know, the bumps and the bruises, but you learned to love with the bumps and the bruises. And you're not holding any ought against anybody. You're just walking in love. It was love that hung on that cross, love for all humanity, a love that darkness could not destroy. And then John 15, verse 9, said, Jesus speaking, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that to lay down one's life for his friends. Are you listening here? When I need special prayer, God will tell me what to call and tell Aaron what to do. And he just prayed for me the other night. And I know it took you a while to get all that. You didn't. It wasn't a 10-minute thing. But you sacrificed your time, sought God's face, found out how to do it, and then prayed. I thank you for that. And as I read it, it was long, and I said, God, this young man gave up his time because he loves me and sought your face for me so that I could receive what I need. How many of you would do that? You know, he worked all day, right? He really needed his rest, but instead he took time and he prayed and heard what God had to say, and then he sent it. That is perfect love. That's laying down your life for another. And on top of that, he had to do an essay for me. You know, that's what we need to do for one another. We need to lay down our lives. It doesn't matter how tired we are. It doesn't matter what life holds. You need to lay down your life for one another. And don't complain about it. Then God also showed me that you have to deal with, you know, not deal, but talk to your mother. You have all that on your heart. But yet he took the time. And that really ministered to my heart. And I know a lot of you in here do it, but this is just an example I'm using right now. And I hope that each one of you have a testimony of somebody taking time out of their busy day to pray for you, no matter how tired they are. All right? There's so many people out there that need our love. It's really God's love that he's given to us, and we need to start pouring that love out. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And then God said, this is the same love that all of my true children possess. You are ready to go forth and destroy all the darkness that lies before you. Now, do you believe that? You are ready to go forth and destroy all the darkness that lies before you. How? Because you learned how to love. If we would all right now be raptured up to heaven and we stood before God and he said to us, have you learned to love? We could all say, yes, I have. Maybe not in the pure state that you do, Father, but yes, I have. And he would accept that. Because he knows that we've learned to love. I want these walls to be so saturated with the love of God that it doesn't matter who comes in here and what state they're in. They will be touched by the love of God. And their lives be forever changed. And as our lives are changed, we will change other lives. We can all say that, let's just say in the last 6 months, we've had more warfare against our love walk than we've ever had in our walk with God. We can all say that Satan has thrown everything at us that he had to try to get us to quit loving. If you don't, I was in that. I was tested and tried to limit. And the only way I got through was by going to the Father and saying, God, you're going to have to do something here because my love is gone. I've used it all up. And I need a fresh infilling of your love. And I don't know about you, but I serve a God who gives you a fresh infilling of whatever you have need of. If you just ask. If you just ask. God said the altar's open right now. Because he wants to give you a fresh infilling. Not of his love. But of his power and his authority. You already have his love. And he gave you power and authority before, but you didn't have his love. You didn't know the fullness of his love. And now since you know the fullness of his love, now he wants to give you a fresh infilling of the power and the authority that works with the love of God. And that's what the altar call is all about tonight.